Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind man guide a blind person? Will not both fall into the pit? No disciple is superior to his teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will become like his teacher. Why do you notice a splinter in your brother's eye when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your own eye first, and then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick up figs from thorn bushes, nor grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good. An evil person out of the store of evil produces evil, for from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Gospel is the last part of the Sermon on the Plain. We spoke about that last week. It's a short collection of homilies of Jesus that Luke has in chapter 6. Its equivalent is in Matthew and is very long. It takes 3 chapters. In Matthew, it's got 105 verses. Luke has the same charter of the kingdom of God, but very briefly, merely 30 verses. And this is the last part. Next week we'll be into Lent. We'll be still in the Gospel of Luke, it's the year of Luke, but we'll be dealing with a different part of the teaching and the life of Christ. So let me look at the Gospel reading which we have today from the Sermon on the Plain. It's important for us to read something in context. If you read something out of context, chances are you will misunderstand it or you will not grasp its full impact or meaning. So let me begin by shaping a context in which we might wish to reflect on this Gospel reading today. Your predisposition toward the Word of God is very defining. One person will read or listen to the Word of God and will presume it confirms the belief they already have. Another person might reflect on the Word of God and say, there is something new here, I need to change, I need to reflect, I need to wonder if there's a new teaching coming to me here. It depends a lot on predisposition. How do you, your predisposition can have a bias in it, it can have a superficial approach toward the Word of God, which doesn't allow it to impact your life. There is a fellow in Ireland, he died a few years ago, named John Moriarty. He was a mystic and very unique, very prayerful spiritual guru. And you know, when we meet one another, typically we say, how are you? It becomes very tired sometimes, you know. I say, I'm fine if I don't think about it. But we say, how are you? John Moriarty didn't say that. He would say to you, how is your soul? Because the manner and quality of your soul is what allows you to interpret the meaning of life and the Word of God. So how is your soul? Michael Casey, this extraordinary monk in Australia, has written many books. One of his books, A Thirst for God, speaking about prayer, he makes this observation. It's not his best book. I'm not recommending A Thirst for God. His best book is called Grace. He has many books. But in this book, he speaks about a deep yearning. Sometimes it's dormant and sometimes it's alive, but a deep yearning within us. And the yearning is to be whole and to belong. Now he explains that, to be whole, complete, is to be fully human. And to belong is, first of all, for me to accept my humanity, the fullness of my humanity. And then to belong to a community that will also honor and accept the fullness of my humanity. What does this mean to us when we come to the Word of God? In all spiritual councils, even in the Ignatian exercises, the beginning of the spiritual life is called kenosis, a Greek word meaning I must become empty. I must face the deepest part of who I am. I must confront my humanity. That's not something we do very often. It's a fundamental part of the journey for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's until they hit the bottom and they face who they are that recovery begins. Not only then, but they belong to a community that accepts their humanity, honors them, celebrates them in the fullness of their humanity. All spiritual journeys begin with a connection with who we are in the fullness of our humanity. That's not something we do very often, to reflect on who I am. Not my job, not my success, not my title, not my popularity, but who I am as a person. A broken human being. When we look at this, and then we try to put the gospel reading into context, here's what I find helpful. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, there is this extraordinary action of Jesus where he washes the feet of his disciples. He takes off what Rollheiser calls the garment of privilege. He takes off his cloak and he puts a towel around him, the garment of the servant. And he goes down on his knees and he washes the feet of his disciples. Now, in a Semitic world, that's an extraordinary statement of servanthood and humility. And when he has finished washing their feet, he takes off the towel, he puts his cloak on, and he says to them, "Do you understand what I have just done?" And there's silence. "Since I am your Lord and your teacher, the student is not greater, and if this is what your Lord and teacher does, you must do likewise. You must come to terms with your humanity, and you must wash the feet of disciples." What does this mean to us? It means in order to interpret the Word of God, we have to have this predisposition of an awareness of our own humanity. Let me give you an example. It's my practice in the afternoons to walk from where I live in Alhambra to the Carmelite nuns. And in their chapel, which is quiet and nobody is there, that's where I do my holy hour. I take my dog. The dog makes me walk. Without the dog, I probably wouldn't walk. But I walk with my dog. And the dog is very prayerful, just lies down there and says nothing to anyone. Contemplative dog. Well, a little while back, one afternoon, I was in the chapel there at prayer for my holy hour. And I so noticed this gentleman over here, an older man. And he came over to me and he said, "Are you a priest?" And I said, "I am." I wasn't dressed in my clericals. He said, "I'd like to make a confession. Would you have time to hear my confession?" I said, "Of course." So he sat down. He said, "I'm an alcoholic. I've gone back 3 times on my 3rd visit to Alcoholics Anonymous. The first 2 I failed. I was sober for a while, and then I failed. I have destroyed my family. I have destroyed my life. I'm hopeless. I don't know where to go. And I came to rely on God's love. It's all I have, a higher power." So he began to make his confession and all of the struggles and the pains and everything in his life came out, and I listened. When I finished, I said, "Tell me something good about yourself." When he paused, he couldn't think of anything good about himself. I said, "Are you married?" He said, "I am." "Tell me about your wife." "She's a saint. She's incredible. Do you love your wife?" And he said, "I love my wife greater than anybody or anything in the world." I said, "Do you have children?" He said, "I do. I love my children, but one of my children is alienated from me, blames me for destroying the family." And I said, "Let's look at the goodness of your life, your sincerity, your struggle." He was a stranger to himself. He couldn't see his goodness. He couldn't see redemption. He's struggling with the poverty of his humanity instead of the richness of his humanity. He was faithful to his wife. He loved his wife. He loved his family. He was heavily burdened with a burden not given to too many of us. But he couldn't see his goodness. So his need to be reconciled was to be reconciled with his goodness. Not his failings, but his goodness. That's the point of his redemption. So I blessed him. I blessed him in the name of a church throughout the world, in the name of the church silent in China, in the church ravished in poverty and violence in Haiti. I blessed him in the name of a church, vulnerable, broken, human, sinful church. And I blessed him in the name of the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, a militant, prayerful, exciting church. I blessed him in your name. I blessed him in the name of the church. I blessed him in the name of the humanity of the church, where God appears and Jesus speaks. And I sent him forth saying, "I will carry you in prayer. And here is my phone number if you want to call me." After that encounter, how do you read the gospel today? A blind man cannot lead a blind man, but now I can see. And conscious as I am, of how much God has forgiven me in my life. The infinite love of God, the enduring forgiveness and understanding, the acceptance of God in my life in my worst moments. How the Lord embraced me, lifted me up, made me believe in the infinite love of God. That's the context in which I read today's gospel. When I have experienced this forgiveness and the enduring love of God, now I see. I'm not a blind man leading a blind man. Now I can see the wonder of God in my life. Aware as I am of the forgiveness and understanding and the blessing of God in my life, there is no way I can make a judgment about anyone, and I don't. It's not the speck in your eye that I see. It's the wound in my own life. It's the beam in my eye. So whoever comes into the church, whatever condition, there is no way I can make a judgment. I don't have the moral high ground to make a judgment. And that's the manner in which we must interpret this gospel reading today. To get this sense that in the fullness of my humanity, I am infinitely loved. Once you grasp this, it is so foundational. You come to terms with your humanity, with your brokenness, your emptiness, and you experience the embrace of God's love. Once that happens to you, it changes your life. No longer will you make judgments about people. No longer will you exclude people. Who in your life have you judged? Who is separated from you because of some human failing or some uniqueness? And who am I to make a judgment? We're carrying a wound, and the wound leads us, unless we confront our own humanity. And when we confront our own humanity, the wound is no longer a burden. The wound is what unites me with other people who are suffering. So think about this gospel reading in the context of your life. Think about this in your family. Who in your family is divided from you? Who in your family needs to be welcomed, to be blessed, to be understood? Who in your family is so human that you have neglected your own humanity and made a judgment? That's the meaning of the Word of God. That's what Casey meant when he said, we must be whole and we want to belong. So please, let me be whole. Let me be fully human. Bless me and do not judge me. Who in your family is asking you for that prayer? Who has given up because the prayer hasn't come? The blessing hasn't been shared. Where am I blind? And when I read the Word of God and experience Jesus Christ, now I see in a new way. How do I admire, reverence, and bless the humanity I find in those around me? How do I encourage you? How am I patient with you? How do I bless you? That's the meaning of this gospel reading. Lose that, and it's just the Word of God. It doesn't touch us, it doesn't enrich us, it doesn't change us, it doesn't form us, unless we begin with our own humanity and our deep desire to find a place where in my brokenness and my poverty, my emptiness and my pain, I find a place where somebody will ask me, tell me something good about yourself, and experience the wonder of God's love. Now that's the Sermon on the Mount. Go back and read chapter 6 in the Gospel of Luke, and everything must be enlightened by this awareness of being whole and being accepted. Amen.